Hello, this is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from a Revelation Timeline Decoded YouTube video series that I made in 2021. The videos were very low tech, mostly me reading what's on the screen, so you're not missing much in the audio version. The Revelation Layers chart and summary PDFs that I refer to in the videos can be found at www.revelationtimelinedecoded.com. Enjoy the lesson.
Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this video, I'm going to talk about how Revelation is written from John's perspective. And too many times, people, you know, on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere, I see people, and they're trying to figure out the references in Revelation based on what's going on in the world today. And of course, you know, prophecies have been fulfilled during the last 1900 years. So in my last video, the Revelation is a layered war manual video. I showed how the prophecies are fulfilled from the first century until Messiah's return. But what I'm going to address in this video are references that John makes. So there's certain references like the Great City and the City of Seven Hells and others that we can reference from John's point of view. And when we do that, then we understand the proper context. To make those references clear, Messiah gave us a key in Revelation 1:19 when he said, "Write the things which thou hast seen," so things in the past, "and the things which are," things in the present, "and things which shall be hereafter." So Messiah is telling us that the references are to the time when the vision was written, and some things he refers to had already taken place, which John had seen. Others were happening at the time that it was written down, and most things happen afterward. So that's the reference. That's the timestamp. Once we get that, then we have that in mind. We're not trying to figure out how those references apply to today. We look to see, first and foremost, how did it apply in John's day? Messiah gave us this timestamp, this waypoint, so that people through the last 1900 years could understand that the references that are made are based on John's perspective in the first century. This helps us understand what the references are pointing to so that we don't have to speculate. We have that key foundation point in history so we know to look for the proper context. Let's start with the vision of Revelation 17, which acts as another key to understanding the enemy of Messiah and his saints. John was shown the harlot, the apostate church, whose ceremonies blaspheme the Father and Messiah. He has shown that she persecutes the saints, and he's mystified about how this can be. So how did the Church of Rome fall into such apostasy that these things would take place? So the angel shows John how these things came to be. In Revelation 17:9, John is shown where the harlot church is seated. Says, "And here is the mind which has wisdom." So it's giving you a key point. It's giving you a timestamp. Here's the mind that has wisdom. "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." So in John's day, the city which is seated on seven hills is Rome. And you can see a coin of an emperor. And there is a woman, and she's sitting on seven hills of Rome. So we see that clearly. And John would know that. Maybe he even held one of those coins in his hand. Who knows? But he knew that the city of seven hills was Rome. He's not going to say that. He's not going to identify Rome, but he's telling you who it is. People say that Jerusalem also has seven hills, but the description in Revelation 17 points to Rome. So, you know, they take that and they go, "Oh, Jerusalem has seven hills." And they just take that one verse and just run with it. And you're like, no, you don't get to do that. You have to take the whole chapter. And who is the whole chapter pointing to? And the whole chapter is pointing to Rome. So, and I'll cover that in more videos, but Revelation 17:1 says that the harlot church sits upon many waters. So first of all, it's pointing to a church. A harlot is a church. It's an apostate people group. And it says she sits on many waters. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show ye the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." So she sits on people groups. It's not talking about literal water, but to people, which is declared later in the chapter in verse 18. "And the woman which thou saw is that great city of Rome, which sits over the kings of the earth." It's saying that the harlot church sits over many people groups. It's pointing to the 10 kingdoms of the fallen Roman Empire, which speak different languages. So the popes of Rome rose to power. They're seated in the great city of Rome, and they reign over the kings of the earth. over the 10 kingdoms of the fallen Roman Empire. Revelation 17:3 points to the 10 kingdoms with the 10 horns. So again, people will point to Jerusalem, but then they have no explanation for the seven. They don't go into details. And that's what we have to do as Bereans. We have to look and say, what do these things mean? And so seven heads and 10 horns, what's it pointing to? And I'll cover that in detail to show the transition of the phases of the Roman beast in a future video. But the seven heads is pointing to, well, we'll see that in a minute on this video, seven heads, seven forms of government, and the 10 horns. When the Roman Empire fell, it split into 10 civil kingdoms. So John is being shown that the harlot church sits in Rome, whose influence is over 10 kingdoms. Revelation 13:1 points to the Antichrist beast popes rising to power out of a sea of people. That's why it's called the sea beast. It's still the Roman beast kingdom of Revelation 12, but now in Revelation 13, it's a different form. It's evolved into a different form, and that's because it has a different leader, the Antichrist beast popes, and they reign over a sea of people. And we see the same 10 horns. So now we have a direct connection with the Antichrist of Revelation 13 and the harlot church of Revelation 17. Well, that's because the popes lead the harlot church of Rome. So he's saying, and I stood on the sand of a sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon its 10 horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And I'll go through this, like I said, in another video in more detail, but the crowns are on the 10 horns. It's saying that the crowns have shifted from the heads. So it's shifted from the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire, to the 10 horns, the 10 kingdoms of the fallen Roman Empire, which the popes took authority over, so they control them. To reinforce that, John says in Revelation 17:18 that she is seated in the great city. And the woman which thou saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So they're telling you the same narrative. One's about the Antichrist, one's about the harlot church. Jerusalem has never been called the great city. So even though it might have seven hills, it has never been called the great city. It's the holy city. Rome was the great city of John's day, as it was in its height of power at the time. We see the harlot church, which is seated in Rome. So in Revelation 17, we're seeing the harlot church of Rome seated in Rome. It's telling us the great city, which is led by the Antichrist beast popes, who have names of blasphemy, such as Holy Father, His Holiness, Vicar of Christ, etc. So we see the direct connection. Next, let's talk about the earth of Revelation. And that seems absurd, but the Greek word doesn't primarily point to the whole earth, but to the region. So we see in Strong's Greek Dictionary, it's pointing to a region, a land, a country. It's not pointing to the whole earth. The earth of Revelation that John knew was the known world of the Roman Empire. And there's a picture of it. So when John wrote Revelation, this is what he knew. This is the land. This is the earth that he's talking about. So when John points to 1/4 part of the earth dying by the sword and hunger in the fourth seal, he's not pointing to the whole earth, but to the Roman Empire. When a vast number of people died from civil wars, economic strife, famine, and pestilence during the first four seal judgment. When John points to 1/3 of the trees being burnt up in the first trumpet, he is not pointing to the whole earth, but to the Roman Empire, to the Western Roman Empire, when the Goths attacked the Western 1/3 of the Roman Empire and burned everything in their path. When John points to 1/3 of the creatures in the sea dying in the second trumpet, he's pointing to the coastlands of the Western Roman Empire being attacked by the Vandals, which filled the waters with the blood of the Romans. The empire was split three ways: west, the middle part, and the east. And so when it says 1/3 is dead, or 1/3, you know, this and that, it's just pointing to 1/3 of the Roman Empire, which I just showed you on that map. So in this case, in the trumpets, it's pointing to the western third. So it's attacking the land, it's attacking the sea, and it just continues that narrative. It is not pointing to 1/3 of the whole world dying, 1/3 of all the oceans dying, like people would say today. Another third is the middle part in the Roman Empire, which is attacked during the fifth trumpet. And the last third of the Roman Empire is the eastern part, which was attacked during the sixth trumpet. And that's all things I'll talk about in future videos. But that's the thirds, the 3/3 of that John's talking about. But that's the earth that John's talking about. So we see how all of Revelation Empire was attacked during the trumpet judgments, but it's not pointing to the whole world. So the reference to earth is from John's perspective, and it's the Roman Empire. Another perspective of John's day is the Roman Empire conquering nations and having victory parades in which the emperors rode a white horse and wore a laurel wreath crown. The saints understood the symbolism, so they understood what John is describing in the first seal. He says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So a white horse symbolizes victory. And when you look at Revelation 19, Messiah is coming on a white horse. Why? Because he's coming in victory. It's the same in the first seal. So that's what it's pointing to, is a victorious horse, someone with a bow who has a crown, who had been conquering. So the bow relates to the Cretan dynasty of Nerva. Nerva was the first Roman emperor to be selected that was not of Roman descent. He was selected on the merit of his ability. There were five emperors that descended from the Isle of Crete were famous bowmen. That's how it ties in to the bow. Alexander the Great was never without a large company of Cretan archers, and they were used by Roman armies during the time of Julius Caesar. During Trajan's reign, from 98 to 117 AD, the Roman Empire was conquering and having victory parades. So we got our white horse, and we're conquering. Here's a Roman coin of Emperor Hadrian wearing a laurel wreath crown and riding a horse. We see from John's perspective what this is proclaiming. It's the first seal is talking about the Roman Empire, a time, we're doing a timestamp here. We're saying this is the most victorious time of the Roman Empire, when they're out conquering, when they were having victory parades, and the emperor was wearing a crown and riding a white horse. And this took place, started to take place shortly. Trajan's reign was from 98 to 117. Well, that's shortly after John wrote Revelation. So we see the beginning of the narrative of the fulfillment of the prophecies in Revelation. We see the reference point that it's about the great city of Rome. We see that the first seal is pointing to Rome. The second through fourth seals point to the decline of the Roman Empire from bloody civil wars, economic strife, which is the black horse, famine and pestilence, right, which is the pale horse. So the six trumpets represent army after army attacking the vast Roman Empire, leading to its fall. And all of that started with John's reference to the Cretan bowmen, Roman emperors riding white horses and wearing laurel wreath crowns in their victory parades. There's one more passage in Revelation 17 that confirms that John is pointing to the harlot church of the Antichrist beast popes. But first, let's recall the reference point that Messiah gave us in Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, things in the past, things which are, things in the present, and things which will come afterward. So Messiah is pointing to things which have happened in the past for John, things which currently exist, and future things. Revelation 17:10 points to seven forms of government of the Roman Empire called kings, sovereigns. So this passage, people try to apply it to today. They say it's the popes. They say it's these beast kingdoms and, you know, seven different beast kingdoms, and then the Antichrist will rise. Well, it's pointing to seven forms of government. So seven kings, if you will, of the Roman Empire, which John would know. So it says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen. So John's past, one is John's present, and the other is yet to come, future. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. So when John wrote Revelation, five of the seven forms of government had already fallen: kings, consuls, dictators, decemvirs, and military tribunes. The one that existed at the time, the sixth king, was the emperors, who reigned in power until 476 AD. The seventh existed a short time from 476 to 538 AD until the eighth king, the popes of Rome, were given civil power over the Roman beast kingdom in 538 AD. So we see the fulfillment. We see the five that are past. We see the emperors. We see the short space that existed between the emperors being in power and the popes taking power. We see the fulfillment. So Revelation 17:11 points to a beast that existed previously and was not in existence when John wrote Revelation, but would come alive in the future. And this is interesting. It says, in the beast that was John's past and is not present when John was writing Revelation, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. And that's a mouthful, but it becomes real easy. It seems to be pointing back to the kingdom of Babylon, which wasn't in John's day, obviously. So it's pointing back to the kingdom of Babylon, from which pagan god worship originated. And it was the Babylonian mystery religion of the worship of the sun god Nimrod, the moon goddess Semiramis, and the incarnate Christ child Tammuz. So the Babylonian mystery religion was revived by the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, beast, popes. So again, it existed in the past, wasn't around during John's day, but now it's alive again. So the beast, the Babylonian beast, is alive again in the popes of Rome, because they feigned to represent Messiah, but they symbolically carry out the Babylonian mystery religion during their blasphemous Eucharist ceremony. This is why they hold the round sun god wafer up to revere it. So if you can Google pictures of this, and so they take this big wafer, it's round, represents the sun god, and they hold it up for them to revere, for the priests to revere, for the Catholics to revere. So everybody's revering this sun wafer, which is nowhere to be found in scripture. Then they place it in the monstrance with sun rays radiating out of it, right? That's a clue. They're putting the sun, the round disc, in a monstrance with sun rays radiating out of it. That's nowhere in scripture do we see any of this, right? Then in that middle part, they place it on what's called the lunette, which is a crescent moon holder. This symbolizes their sexual union. See, they got the sun god sitting on the moon goddess. That's their sexual union of the Babylonian mystery religion. This creates their Christ child in the flesh, Tammuz. They feign that it's the body of Christ. That's what they say. It's the body of Christ. But that concept is not scriptural, and it points to their Christ in the flesh, Tammuz. So we see why John calls them mystery, comma, Babylon the Great. For they feign to be Messiah's church, but they're an apostate church, which is led by the Antichrist with the false gospel, who's carrying out the Babylonian mystery religion. Revelation 17, 12 to 13 tells us that the leaders of the 10 kingdoms of the fallen Roman Empire gave their power unto the Antichrist beast Pope. So it says, and the 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings, which received no kingdom as yet. So during the short space, right, during that short space from 476 to 538, They hadn't really received their kingdom. They just kind of came into power, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So in other words, in the little horn of Daniel prophecy, the 10 horns up among them came the little horn of Daniel 7, the Pope of Rome. He demanded that they bow to his authority. Three of them said no, so he caused them to be plucked out. He caused the leaders to be plucked out and took over their territory. So in effect, all 10 kingdoms gave their authority unto him. So we see references like the seven hills of Rome, the great city, the white horses. They're all pointing to Rome. So when people tell you Revelation 17 is about Jerusalem, it's just not true. And there's more to the explanation when we go through it verse by verse, but that just shows you that the John is being shown the Roman Catholic Church of the Antichrist beast popes. He's pointing directly at them. He's describing them with purple and scarlet colors. He's describing their golden cup. He's describing them and that they killed the saints. It's really, really clear who it is. And that's it for today. I'll cover more about Mystery Babylon the Great in future videos. Just wanted to give you the big picture, really, is that knowing that these references are from John's perspective, that just helps so much that flag is in the ground. That timestamp is there. And we know those things to be true. So your default mode when you're looking at Revelation prophecy is what was John's perspective at the time? Who was the great city? Who was the city of seven hills and all those things? So I hope that helps.
Thank you for listening to this Revelation Timeline Decoded audio. You can request a free copy of the Revelation Timeline Decoded summary PDF or order a printed copy of the book, which explains it in detail, at revelationtimelinedecoded.com. I love y'all. Shalom.